Good morning and welcome to the sermon for August the 16th, 2020, entitled Chiseled Hearts. Before I begin, I do want to again thank those who have participated in the elements of this worship service today. The stewards, the Music and Worship Commission, the sound booth technicians, the ushers, Rita for her technological work behind the scenes, Linda Young for leading worship and offering her testimony, Robin Wampler for her music ministry, and virtual guest Gene Roth today, who just read our scripture, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 to 10. Jeremiah 17, 5 to 10 is our scripture for today. Donna and I were with my daughter's family in a restaurant when my daughter's youngest daughter, that would be my youngest granddaughter, noticed how Donna was applying pepper to her salad and the amount that Donna was adding, which was more than probably my granddaughter would have ever added. When my granddaughter turned to her mom and said, "Why is Donna putting so much pepper on her salad?" My daughter then explained calmly that when people get old, their taste buds begin to wear out and they have to add more pepper in order to taste it. Well, I don't know about that particular symptom of old age, but I do know from experience that I do have a harder time staying awake when watching a movie. Wait a minute, I forgot. Oh yes, I forget things a whole lot easier. My physical body is deteriorating. I'm harder of hearing. My vision is deteriorating. My hair is slowly becoming extinct. My veins are starting to look like a road map. You know, it's easy to get discouraged in old age if the only things that you're looking at is the physical. But God himself, if you remember, tells us that's not what he's looking at. That's not what he's watching. 1 Samuel 16:7, when Samuel was looking at Jesse's sons to choose who God had in mind to lead the nation of Israel, Samuel and Jesse was reminded that man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So all those maladies that I've noticed in my life and that you're seeing in your own life are really a waste of our worries. Proverbs 4:23, Solomon, who's the wisest man who ever lived, gave us this advice. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Now, he's not talking about the physical organ of the heart that's inside our chests. No, he's talking about what God's watching back in 1 Samuel. He's talking about your mind, your thoughts, what you're meditating on, what you ponder, what you believe. God's watching what I would call your spiritual heart. So we have some great news. You may have ruined different parts of your physical body through abuse through the years, like I did when I hurt my knees by jogging on hard macadam for 15 years, or when I hurt my sense of hearing by shooting a gun in an enclosed room without earplugs. No, we can't do much about our physical bodies because of mistakes that we might have made in our past. But the good news is, no matter what condition our spiritual hearts are in, they can be born again. It's what Jesus was really talking about when, if you remember, he was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3:3, when he says, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. our hearts can be tweaked. They can, and they should, grow spiritually. They can, and they should be improving. And in the process, they can begin to resemble the very heart of God. Paul writes about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3:18, when he says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image." Let me repeat that phrase. We are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's pretty cool scripture. The scripture, though, in Jeremiah 17 that Jean read this morning were warnings. Warnings even to me, to you, to us, who have already given our hearts to the Lord. We have already been born again. But I've heard phrases like this in verses 5 and 6, when it said, "A man whose heart turns away from the Lord is like a shrub in the desert, and he shall not see any good." And then in verse 9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it?" And then Jeremiah in verse 10 wrote, "When God himself says out loud to Jeremiah, 'I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind.'" There it is, the mind. "Even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Whoa. I don't know about your heart or your mind, but knowing my heart and my mind, that's scary stuff. So I ask, how do I go about getting my heart into spiritual shape to begin to mirror that image of God that Paul was writing about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3? Well, scripture uses fancy words like sanctification or holiness. Even way back in the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 11, God directs his children to avoid that which was unclean and to consecrate themselves. He reminded them, "I am the Lord your God, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." So you may ask at this juncture in the sermon, "And just how can I do that?" It's actually pretty simple. There's two different scriptures that sum it up. I like to read first from Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 4 to 6. This is what he writes. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel which he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. And so he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make." Verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do the same with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, and so you are in my hand, O house of Israel.'" We are reminded in this favorite scripture of mine that we, like the clay that was marred, was defaced or cracked, no matter how old or dried up that clay was, if given back to the hands of the potter, when submitted to God's holy hands on his potter's wheel, our heart can be reshaped. Our heart can be reborn. Do you remember what God used to create Adam? And do you remember from last week how God was able to resuscitate the dry bones in Ezekiel's vision? And do you remember from scripture in Ephesians 2, which those of you that are in our sanctuary may remember it was our call to worship this morning. Let me reread that scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And then going to verse 7, he writes, that in the ages to come, let me repeat that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And then going to verse 10, cool verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. What jumps off the page of my Bible in verse 7 when he says, in ages to come, he will show his grace. You know, that sounds an awful lot like a potter reworking, remolding, reshaping my old heart of clay multiple times in my life through ages to come, as he writes, even after I was saved. And then in verse 10, another favorite verse of hope for me, when he writes, for we are his workmanship. That master potter, the master architect of this universe, the master creator has me, has you, not your flesh and blood, but your heart, your mind, and ultimately, he has your soul as his workmanship, as an ever work in progress. Boy, that gives me hope. If I want a heart that looks like our Lord's heart, that I need to throw that old heart, that old weather-beaten heart of mine back on the master's potter's wheel and let him begin to reshape it into his heart. No matter what mistakes I may have done or sins that I may have committed, since I was born again, my heart, your heart, can be given new life, and it can begin to reflect that image of our God's heart. How cool is that? Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for hope. In conclusion, would you join me in watching a short video made by Skit Guys, which illustrates this hopeful process? And it's called God's Chisel. Here it is.
Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, but I want to. So I go to God and I pray, Dear Heavenly Father, would you do whatever it takes to mold me into the image of your Son? Make me your masterpiece. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Hi.
Oh, who are you?
I'm God. You said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
You're not God.
No, I am.
Okay, if you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
You are God. What's that about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece. This is the process.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Let's get busy.
Okay.
I'm going to bring up things in your life that don't belong in your life, and start right here. Your anger.
Ow!
I created the emotion, but you use it in the wrongest of ways. You compare yourself to others instead of me, and you lie. You tell little white lies. You're so afraid of confrontation. You're becoming a people pleaser.
Okay, time out. I think you've done some really good work, and I'm looking pretty good right now.
When you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and other people need to see my son.
Okay, but when I look like Jesus, people get uncomfortable and I don't think I'm supposed to do that.
So what you're saying is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
No, what I'm saying is you've grown me to here. Maybe we take a break from each other for a while, all right? And then I'll stay here and then you come back and we can grow some more.
You never just take a break from me. You're either moving toward me or away from me, but you never just plateau. What you're doing is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, here we go.
Can we chisel where I want?
That's called control.
Okay, sorry.
This right here, that secret sin, that thing that you run to whenever you're hurting, you're angry, you're lonely, you're tired. Do you want to keep rearranging this in your life, or do you want me to chisel it out?
Chisel it.
It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's your whole life.
This hurts, okay? I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And there are things that you are doing in your life that are insane. Allow me to chisel them out of your life.
I know, but I've let you down so many times, God.
No, you were never holding me up.
Okay, then chisel away. But just be prepared for what you're gonna find in there, because I know who's inside there. God, I get up every morning, and I hate what I see in the mirror, because inside is this scared, stupid kid, and I try, but I can't be who everybody else expects me to be. God, I can't even be who I want to be, much less who you created me to be. So chisel away and just know what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices, so many critics for far too long that are not for me. And you've bought into the lie. You think you're junk, don't you? When you lay your head down at night, at the end of the day, you think you're junk. I don't take time to make junk. I want to show you something about my love. Reach in your back pocket.
This is it's a page from a notebook when I was in college. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
Dear God, did I hear you right? You said you want to use me. But I feel really useless. But if you can take this life, this mess of a life I have, and do with it what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at.
It's gonna be tough.
Yes, but you bought into the lie thinking everything was gonna be easy when you said yes to me. There will be trouble in this world, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to do something. I want you to look out there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy is God's.
No, not the way you see yourself, or you try so desperately for others to see you. But maybe for the first time in your life, the way I made you, the way I created you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
And so are you. You are an original masterpiece.